Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Speaker A.
Sports are a way for people to show what they love, whether it's a passion for chess or a passion for jumping and motocross. Life is something everyone should enjoy the way one sees it. People shouldn't be told something is too dangerous when it's what they love. Society becomes so focused on safety that they forget what makes us unique. Everyone has a dream, a love, an escape, and sports are a way people can show who they really are.
Speaker B. Extreme sports like base jumping and rock climbing have acquired mass audience and corporate sponsorship. But they're not safe. I'd say extreme sports are too extreme for me. And what is even worse is being someone viewing the risky behavior on places like YouTube. Such videos can influence others to do similar things that may result in serious health problems. These videos are quickly spreading across the net, which I don't like. Speaker C.
Instead of discouraging athletes involved in extreme sports, we should celebrate them for their differences and do what we can to support them as they climb higher, run faster, and push the limits of human endurance and athleticism. With public support, these athletes can expand our boundaries. By limiting access to activities some people consider too dangerous, we might be inviting even greater risks in the form of crime and health problems.
Speaker D. I'm sure people get involved in extreme sports because of the adrenaline rush and sense of euphoria. The word extreme seems to me a part of this thrill. But the adrenaline rush can't be achieved by doing the same action over and over again. Extreme athletes chase the adrenaline rush by continually increasing the challenge and danger presented by their chosen sports. They get used to risky behavior and can't stop in search of new risks. Speaker E.
Being in any extreme sport isn't a joke. When you're doing it, you should take it very seriously. You should wear protective equipment, such as knee pads, elbow pads, and a helmet. I've met a number of people who engage in extreme sports, and they do take risks, but they're usually well prepared for such risks. Those who are serious about extreme sports are highly trained athletes who take care of their bodies and tend to be very safety conscious.
Speaker F. I think extreme sports are too risky, especially for kids. It can be life-threatening at times because you never know what is going to happen. Teens like taking sports to an extreme because they like the thrill of it. They will never know when enough is enough. If teens would take the time to realize what these sports are doing to their body, they might rethink the whole extreme part. I feel kids shouldn't be allowed to take up extreme sports at all.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Speaker A.
Sports are a way for people to show what they love, whether it's a passion for chess or a passion for jumping and motocross. Life is something everyone should enjoy the way one sees it. People shouldn't be told something is too dangerous when it's what they love. Society becomes so focused on safety that they forget what makes us unique. Everyone has a dream, a love, an escape, and sports are a way people can show who they really are.
Speaker B. Extreme sports like base jumping and rock climbing have acquired mass audience and corporate sponsorship. But they're not safe. I'd say extreme sports are too extreme for me. And what is even worse is being someone viewing the risky behavior on places like YouTube. Such videos can influence others to do similar things that may result in serious health problems. These videos are quickly spreading across the net, which I don't like. Speaker C.
Instead of discouraging athletes involved in extreme sports, we should celebrate them for their differences and do what we can to support them as they climb higher, run faster, and push the limits of human endurance and athleticism. With public support, these athletes can expand our boundaries. By limiting access to activities some people consider too dangerous, we might be inviting even greater risks in the form of crime and health problems.
Speaker D. I'm sure people get involved in extreme sports because of the adrenaline rush and sense of euphoria. The word extreme seems to me a part of this thrill. But the adrenaline rush can't be achieved by doing the same action over and over again. Extreme athletes chase the adrenaline rush by continually increasing the challenge and danger presented by their chosen sports. They get used to risky behavior and can't stop in search of new risks. Speaker E.
Being in any extreme sport isn't a joke. When you're doing it, you should take it very seriously. You should wear protective equipment, such as knee pads, elbow pads, and a helmet. I've met a number of people who engage in extreme sports, and they do take risks, but they're usually well prepared for such risks. Those who are serious about extreme sports are highly trained athletes who take care of their bodies and tend to be very safety conscious.
Speaker F. I think extreme sports are too risky, especially for kids. It can be life-threatening at times because you never know what is going to happen. Teens like taking sports to an extreme because they like the thrill of it. They will never know when enough is enough. If teens would take the time to realize what these sports are doing to their body, they might rethink the whole extreme part. I feel kids shouldn't be allowed to take up extreme sports at all.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Dad. We're going away with Jake and Elliot for the first time. I wanted to ask you for some pointers to help me prepare for the journey. I remember that while traveling with you and Mom, my sister and I always had enough drinks and snacks to satisfy our hunger, and wet wipes and a change of clothing to eliminate the traces.
That's so true. First of all, tell me how you're going to travel.
We were thinking of going to our friend's country house not far from Paris. So first a plane or a train and then probably cycling.
Well, on planes, changing cabin pressure during takeoff and landing can be uncomfortable. You can ease the discomfort by giving your toddlers a sweet to suck on. And try to sit in an easily accessible seat if possible. You never know when they need a toy, or a change of clothes, or simply want to take a stroll to a cabin or a restroom.
That's good advice. Thank you. By the way, I've already got some books, crayons, and toys, so that the boys are not bored.
Good. Put a favorite toy in your hand luggage. Silent toys won't disturb other passengers, but try to keep your hand luggage to a minimum to keep your hands free.
I'll need my hands. I don't want Jake and Elliot to get lost.
Then, attach a luggage label to their clothing with their name, your telephone number, and the flight details on it.
I haven't thought of it. It might come in handy.
As for cycling, it can be a quick and convenient way of getting out and about with your boys. But you need to make sure they wear helmets when on a bike. And please, wear one yourself.
Actually, we're thinking of using a bike trailer.
You mean the one which is fastened to a bike and looks like a carriage?
Kind of. The boys will be seated and strapped inside the zipped, weatherproof compartment with windows, so they'll see out.
Sounds like comfy seating with storage space for toys. But you won't see what your boys are up to while you're cycling. And if they fight for a toy, the trailer can tip over, especially when turning abruptly or going over bumps. I'd go for a traditional front-mounted child bike seat. You can cycle with Jake in front of you, and your husband will take Elliot.
These seats are definitely more compact than trailers, and the kids will always be visible. And we'll need less parking space for our bikes.
True.
Thanks, Dad.
You're always welcome. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hi, Dad. We're going away with Jake and Elliot for the first time. I wanted to ask you for some pointers to help me prepare for the journey. I remember that while traveling with you and Mom, my sister and I always had enough drinks and snacks to satisfy our hunger, and wet wipes and a change of clothing to eliminate the traces.
That's so true. First of all, tell me how you're going to travel.
We were thinking of going to our friend's country house not far from Paris. So first a plane or a train and then probably cycling.
Well, on planes, changing cabin pressure during takeoff and landing can be uncomfortable. You can ease the discomfort by giving your toddlers a sweet to suck on. and try to sit in an easily accessible seat if possible. You never know when they need a toy, or a change of clothes, or simply want to take a stroll to a cabin or a restroom.
That's good advice. Thank you. By the way, I've already got some books, crayons, and toys, so that the boys are not bored.
Good. Put a favorite toy in your hand luggage. Silent toys won't disturb other passengers, but try to keep your hand luggage to a minimum to keep your hands free.
I'll need my hands. I don't want Jake and Elliot to get lost.
Then, attach a luggage label to their clothing with their name, your telephone number, and the flight details on it.
I haven't thought of it. It might come in handy.
As for cycling, it can be a quick and convenient way of getting out and about with your boys. But you need to make sure they wear helmets when on a bike. And please, wear one yourself.
Actually, we're thinking of using a bike trailer.
You mean the one which is fastened to a bike and looks like a carriage?
Kind of. The boys will be seated and strapped inside the zipped, weatherproof compartment with windows, so they'll see out.
Sounds like comfy seating with storage space for toys. But you won't see what your boys are up to while you're cycling. And if they fight for a toy, the trailer can tip over, especially when turning abruptly or going over bumps. I'd go for a traditional front-mounted child bike seat. You can cycle with Jake in front of you, and your husband will take Elliot.
These seats are definitely more compact than trailers, and the kids will always be visible. And we'll need less parking space for our bikes.
True.
Thanks, Dad.
You're always welcome. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our weekly program dedicated to success stories. Today, we're talking to Stephen McLeod, one of the top world plush toy designers. Hello, Stephen. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Erica. It's a pleasure being here.
Tell us, how did it all start?
Well, imagine it's the mid-1980s and I'm 27 years old. For the last 6 years, I've been selling my handmade soft sculptures on the street, at state fairs, and eventually in a retail store. I've been learning how to create products people want, but it's still been a tough way to make a living. My friends and family have begun to side-eye me. In their eyes, it's time for me to grow up, time to get a real job. They're very kind, but I can tell they think I'm a loser. They have good jobs, and they're getting married and buying houses. I'm chasing my dream. At the moment, I also happen to be sleeping on a friend's couch and my car has just broken down. And I'm beginning to feel like I may have hit rock bottom.
To tell the truth, it's not a very promising start.
Definitely not. Thankfully, I met someone who had faith in me. It was Sally. She thought I was talented. And she saw something in me that others could not. She let me live with her so that I could start over. And for that, I will never be able to thank her enough.
So, why plush toys?
Sally's apartment was brimming with stuffed animals, teddy bears, farm animals, wild animals of all different sizes. One day she asked me if I could design a bear. I told her no, I wasn't a pattern maker. All self-sculpture was done by hand. Try, she implored. So I did. I didn't know how pattern pieces could be sewn together to create 3D objects, so I started studying the dimensions of one of Sally's teddy bears. I took its measurements. Then I reached for paper, started cutting shapes out of it, and began taping them together. It struck me that I could just as easily sculpt in paper. Inspired, I quickly moved on and built a fish modeled after the character in Pinocchio. That day, we created the first plush animal I had ever designed. My world changed. Companies had been selling plush animals forever, and all of a sudden, I had a marketable skill.
I bet that was an amazing feeling. What did you do next?
For the next month, I created paper sculptures of everything from ducks to dogs to bears. Working with paper was extremely satisfying because it was so forgiving. I could simply keep trimming and then tape the pieces together again to get closer to the right shape. I was working with my hands, and I loved being able to transform an idea into a product so quickly. It was magical. One day, Sally suggested that I contact one of the largest and oldest producers of plush animals. Conveniently, the company was located just across the road.
Did you dare?
I did. And to my surprise, when I picked up the phone and asked if they needed any freelance work done, they invited me to come in right away. They gave me 2 weeks to design a life-size, realistic-looking baby of a bottlenose dolphin.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, but I took a chance. The company mass-produced my dolphin, which was named Bubble. The following February, I flew from New York for the toy fair. After the show, I was exhausted. But on my way to the hotel, I stopped by one of the oldest toy stores in the UK. It was cold and rainy. Inside, there was Bubble. That was success. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our weekly program dedicated to success stories. Today, we're talking to Stephen McLeod, one of the top world plush toy designers. Hello, Stephen. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Erica. It's a pleasure being here.
Tell us, how did it all start?
Well, imagine it's the mid-1980s and I'm 27 years old. For the last 6 years, I've been selling my handmade soft sculptures on the street, at state fairs, and eventually in a retail store. I've been learning how to create products people want, but it's still been a tough way to make a living. My friends and family have begun to side-eye me. In their eyes, it's time for me to grow up, time to get a real job. They're very kind, but I can tell they think I'm a loser. They have good jobs, and they're getting married and buying houses. I'm chasing my dream. At the moment, I also happen to be sleeping on a friend's couch and my car has just broken down. And I'm beginning to feel like I may have hit rock bottom.
To tell the truth, it's not a very promising start.
Definitely not. Thankfully, I met someone who had faith in me. It was Sally. She thought I was talented. And she saw something in me that others could not. She let me live with her so that I could start over. And for that, I will never be able to thank her enough.
So, why plush toys?
Sally's apartment was brimming with stuffed animals, teddy bears, farm animals, wild animals of all different sizes. One day, she asked me if I could design a bear. I told her no, I wasn't a pattern maker. All self-sculpture was done by hand. Try, she implored. So I did. I didn't know how pattern pieces could be sewn together to create 3D objects, so I started studying the dimensions of one of Sally's teddy bears. I took its measurements. Then I reached for paper, started cutting shapes out of it, and began taping them together. It struck me that I could just as easily sculpt in paper. Inspired, I quickly moved on and built a fish modeled after the character in Pinocchio. That day, we created the first plush animal I had ever designed. My world changed. Companies had been selling plush animals forever, and all of a sudden, I had a marketable skill.
I bet that was an amazing feeling. What did you do next?
For the next month, I created paper sculptures of everything from ducks to dogs to bears. Working with paper was extremely satisfying because it was so forgiving. I could simply keep trimming and then tape the pieces together again to get closer to the right shape. I was working with my hands, and I loved being able to transform an idea into a product so quickly. It was magical. One day, Sally suggested that I contact one of the largest and oldest producers of plush animals. Conveniently, the company was located just across the road.
Did you dare?
I did. And to my surprise, when I picked up the phone and asked if they needed any freelance work done, they invited me to come in right away. They gave me 2 weeks to design a life-size, realistic-looking baby of a bottlenose dolphin.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, but I took a chance. The company mass-produced my dolphin, which was named Bubble. The following February, I flew from New York for the toy fair. After the show, I was exhausted. But on my way to the hotel, I stopped by one of the oldest toy stores in the UK. It was cold and rainy. Inside, there was Bubble. That was success. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.